Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good, too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And before we get into anything football related, I think it's safe to say I'm sure I'm speaking for both of us when I say this. My condolences out to Marshawn Nealand's family.
Absolutely. His teammates, the entire organization is definitely feeling the loss of this one.
I mean, that just came out of complete nowhere.
Absolutely. I woke up to the news that he had passed, and then before more information came out, just was kind of wondering what could have happened. He had just gone from scoring a touchdown on Monday Night Football.
And right.
I think it happened early, technically Thursday night, Friday morning.
Yeah, like in the early morning.
Yeah, so, I mean, the biggest thing I'll take away from it is, you know, always check up on your loved ones, reach out to those who you care about, let them know you're there for them, let them know that they can always talk to you. If you need anyone to talk to, reach out to us. Reach out if you feel like you have nobody. Trust me, we will be there for you.
1,000%.
I mean, mental health is no joke. It's definitely something that should be taken with a
level of seriousness.
Absolute level of seriousness. And something like this, it just leaves you with a heavy heart because, I mean, if you've heard anybody speak about Marshawn since then, obviously heard nothing but great things about the kind of guy he was, the kind of teammate he was, the kind of family member he was, and just the level of, you know, just professionalism that he brought since being with the team. It was only his second year in the league. He was 24 years old. So to be that young, to be that fresh in the league, and to have people speak that highly of your character, I mean, it just speaks a testament to who he was. And like Eric said, just prayers out to his family, prayers out to his teammates, the organization. I mean, I know they're dealing with a lot with that one.
1,000%. Have you seen anything come out about, like, did anybody say he was struggling or anything? Like, because my initial thought was, okay, I don't know, and again, you would know this better than I do, I mean, he wasn't catching heat from Cowboys fans, was he? Like,
no, it wasn't. As far as, I mean, obviously we don't know what he was dealing with, but it would definitely not like, oh, we hate Marshawn Nealand. He hadn't been here long enough. His impact hadn't been felt enough to have that type of negative, like, impact or energy out there.
Right.
But that night, his family had the police.
Because it was a chase, right?
They ended up chasing him, but it wasn't even for anything criminal related. His family, like, put out a call.
Oh, he was missing?
That he was missing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He had sent some concerning texts or messages about basically what he was dealing with. And so his family members called the police and were like, so he ended up going to his house. He wasn't there. And they were just trying to, you know, because it wasn't even like it was much of a high-speed chase. They had already called it off, and then he stopped, and then
he took off on foot.
Yeah, so.
Okay, that makes more sense, because I thought, you know, just from reading the preliminary reports and everything, it just says, like, it was a vehicle chase, and then he got out, and then they found him 3 hours later.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, like, maybe he was speeding, or he had something in the car or whatever, and he just, you know, because that happens a lot too, right? But I didn't realize it was just, you know, the police were literally trying to check on him and find him.
Yeah, I mean, and just obviously news is in information that's going to come out as it does. But so, like I said, the first initial reports were that he had passed. And so you wake up and you see that and you're just wondering, the thousand thoughts go through your head on what possibly could have happened.
Yep.
And then you see the initial reports that, oh, it happened at the end of a police chase. And you're like, oh, my God, what could it? Right. You're hoping it wasn't the worst. That maybe did something wrong.
1,000%.
I mean, and then I remember at that specific point talking to my brother about it and being like, "Oh my God!" Like, kind of assuming the worst, that it had to have been something bad. Because you've seen, I mean, not even just players from the Cowboys, players, NFL players, players in other sports, just celebrities in general. Once they're in that position to be pulled over by the police, they play that celebrity card. They play that. If you're a Dallas Cowboy in Dallas and you get pulled over by the police,
right?
I'm sure it happens way more times than we really. They turn a blind eye to that. So me and my brother were thinking, so for him to not even try to play that card, to even just take it there, who knows what could have happened. And so for them, all the information to come out, I mean, it's as tragic as it could have been. So it really sucks for his family. It really sucks that the team really has to, you know, kind of take that and deal with that for the rest of the season. The team has announced they'll be wearing a sticker on their helmets for the rest of the season, and I think next season to, you know, commemorate his in his honor, and as well as they'll be wearing some shirts for the Monday night game against the Raiders we have coming up. So,
yeah,
I mean, the team will definitely be remembered for him. I know the rest of the season, I mean, win or lose, I don't think that it'll be because of that. I think that they'll be playing in honor of him
right
for the time being. I know this hits a lot. I don't know if a lot of people, I mean, just have experience playing sports, but those relationships, that locker room camaraderie that you build with the guys in there, it's almost second to none.
Yep.
That's as close to being family as you can possibly be without those brothers later. Exactly. So, I know that's insanely tough to deal with. So.
1,000%.
Yeah, man.
And I mean, you know, so me speaking personally, I'm not going to lie. When I was in high school, I lost one of my teammates. He drowned in that Georgetown overpass, man. Obviously prayers out to Marshawn Neal's family, all his people, anybody, you know, at the Dallas Cowboys organization have to deal with that, man. Like Lando said, man, if you ever dealing with something, man, just talk to somebody, bro. Talk to somebody. We've all been there. I'm in therapy. I'll admit it. I'm in therapy. I'm not ashamed to admit it. You know what I'm saying? And you just gotta talk that stuff out, man.
There's therapy. There's helplines you can call if you feel comfortable talking to your family. Like I said, you can talk to us.
Talk to somebody.
There are avenues. There are resources out there.
Absolutely.
All it takes is one conversation to get that ball rolling, and who knows how far that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, if you know somebody, you know, who knows what checking in on them would do, or who knows what telling them that they're doing a good job or that you love them could do for them.
Telling them that the day will be okay.
Right.
Right. There is always tomorrow. Okay. So yeah, man, one more time, just condolences out to everybody affected by the Marshawn Nealon passing. And I'll just say this, man, I hope he found peace. I hope he found peace, and you know, I hope he's okay wherever he's at. So moving on, you know, Lando mentioned it, previewing the Raiders game on Monday Night Football. Let's throw it back to last night's Monday Night Football game where my Philadelphia Eagles played against the Green Bay Packers. Man, I don't even... Shout out to Jalen Phillips. I'm trying to think of the good things to say right now. Shout out to Jalen Phillips, new Philadelphia Eagle, had a phenomenal debut for us. If he wasn't hitting the quarterback, he was helping other guys get sacks. That Jalen Hunt sack. And anybody who watched that, go rewatch the tape, man.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Jalen Phillips caused that sack because he was the one that flushed Jordan Love out of the pocket and right into Jalen Hunt's hands. He got the fumble recovery. He was just all over, man, making tackles in the backfield. He was just all over the field. So his future is bright. And the more he talks, it just sounds like he already wants to re-up with Philly. And it sounds crazy because, like, he just got here. But He sounds like he's here from the long haul, man, and I'm here for it. So shout out to Jalen Phillips for playing well. Shout out to the whole defense. They played lights out. I'm just going to say this about the offense. I really believe it is time for Nick Sirianni to take over offensive play calling duties. We've already seen it happen in Washington. Dan Quinn has taken over for Joe Witt. Dan Campbell took over for John Morton, I believe the offensive coordinator's name is, which that was shocking because Detroit was rolling.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Yeah, I think there's a philosophy disconnect there, maybe. But that was shocking. But
By the way, the final score of the game was
10-7.
10-7. Philadelphia. They won the game.
10-7.
And that's where the I'm trying to think of what you're doing right now. The
disdain. The sameness.
The disdain for the
disdain. I'm just
for the play calling.
It's just, I don't know what else to do at this point. I really don't. It's just I can't, man. Like, we're too predictable. You know where we're gonna call a draw. too many hands again on Saquon early in the backfield on early downs. Again, like I said, AJ Brown, he's kind of on the left side of the field. He's kind of just stuck there. Devontae gets way more, you know, roster run. I just, the creativity is just not there. And when I say it's not there, it's not there. Even though, like I said before, we saw it with the Giants when it was our last game. I have seen flashes of Kevin Motulo and what he can do, what his brain can put together. I've seen it. I just haven't seen it enough. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm telling you right now, last night's game, I got very, very, very eerily similar feelings to how I felt during the 2023 season, mm-hmm. Right? We started off 10-1 that year, and then we, you know, lost a couple games down the stretch, got into the playoffs, got bounced by Tampa first round. People are talking about we're a Super Bowl contender. I don't see it. I do not see it. I don't believe in that. I don't feel good in saying that. We could mess around and finish out the season, win the division. We could mess around and have the first seed. Because we have the first seed right now.
Right.
I am telling you right now, if we have to play Detroit, who we got to play next week, mm-hmm. If we got to play Seattle, I know for a fact we will get our doors blown off in the divisional round. Okay, I don't know what else to do at this point. I really think Nick Sirianni needs to take over play calling. And he called plays when he first got to Philly. It wasn't amazing.
Yeah.
But at this point, anything is better than this. And I'm not going to lie to you. Like, you know, when I hear my head coach, Nick Sirianni, talk about, you know, we just care about winning the game, right? Jalen Hurts says the same thing. He just cares about winning the game. And you know what? Fine, fair, cool. But you cannot tell me you are happy with how this looks.
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're 7-2, but dude, it doesn't look good. They don't look good at all. And in the NFL, style points matter. If we're winning 10-7,
once you, like, if this is in a playoff setting when it's win or go home, yes. 10 elimination, that 10-7 game is one play away from flipping the opposite direction.
And I mean, dude,
they went for it on fourth down earlier.
We almost gave Green Bay a shot.
Right.
And I heard, you know, Nick Sirianni, he talked about basically like, you know, had we gotten it, yeah, we win the game. But he was even like, even if we didn't get it right, Green Bay, I mean, we still would have been up by 3. And I understand his logic. I wouldn't have done that. I understand his logic. I wouldn't have done it. But I just cannot, man. I cannot sit here and tell you as a Philadelphia Eagles fan today, I cannot sit here and tell you on November 11th, 2025, that I watch my team and I see a Super Bowl contender. I see a team that has the pieces, right? Because yeah, we lost some folks in free agency in the offseason. Like, yeah, we kind of we re-upped, right? We restocked in the edge. Excuse me. We kind of fixed the secondary, but again, we'll get into that in a second. Yeah, we have the same coach, we have the same quarterback, same running back, literally, we lost, what, two starters from the offense last year? Two starters?
Yeah.
It was a couple starters on defense, but like we kept the core pieces together.
Even Kevin Petullo was in the
system. Kevin Petullo was there. He was just the quarterback's coach. Yeah, I'm not seeing it, man. I'm not. We gotta play Detroit next. And I'm not gonna lie to you. I will not be surprised if they blow our doors off. Now our defense is playing top notch and like they'll keep us in games.
Mm-hmm.
But brother, I'm telling you right now, if our offense cannot get into a groove and start to play winning complimentary football, it's a wrap, man. it's a wrap. You know, like I just said, you know, we kind of pieced up the secondary, but really we're kind of right back to the drawing board, because word came out literally like an hour before we started recording. Jair Alexander is taking a step away from football. I don't know if that's code for retirement. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I just know, you know, he stayed home from Green Bay. I'm thinking because he was still recovering from a knee injury and, you know, getting acclimated to the system, because it's harder for a corner to get acclimated to Vic Fangio's system than it is an edge player, right? And Jalen Phillips played in Vic Fangio's defense in Miami back in 2023.
Right.
So he already knew for the most part what to do. And so I'm like, all right, yeah, Jair, he'll come with us on Detroit. No, that's not happening. And I'm not anticipating Jair joining us at all this season if this is where his head's at. And I get it. Hey, we just talked about it, you know, because he said, like, you know, he wants to get his mental right, his health right and all that. I get it. I respect.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you where we're at now.
For sure. It just came out of nowhere.
We just traded for him.
Right.
And now it's back to Quinyon, Coop, and Adoree. I will say Adoree Jackson looked the best he's looked all season last night. He was making tackles for the most part. He was pretty good in pass cover. So, you know, maybe he's starting to figure it out. If Adoree Jackson and Keely Ringo are cornerback two rotating, I'm nervous about that, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, man, that's where I'm at with my team, man. We're 7-2, but make no mistake, we are not a Super Bowl contender. I do not see that happening right now in the slightest. I don't even see us making it past the divisional round at this point. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, what I've engaged in, just like in terms of the Eagles, is just seeing a lot of people say, like, a lot of y'all's fans are basically just saying, like, nothing else matters, y'all are winning, and I understand that, and while I do understand the sentiment, I feel like I'd feel more like you. I'm kind of nervous about that, because, yeah, like I said, just it could, one thing flipping the other way, mm-hmm. if you could lose these games, could easily be, a lot of these games could have easily been losses.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, so it's no point in kind of, you know, we're not talking about the past in terms of what y'all's record could be or what it should be. It is what it is.
Right.
But in terms of going forward, the future of what the future could be, you never know. As you kind of want to, once y'all, and it's not like y'all don't have the players or the personnel mm-hmm. to be better.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
In terms of how y'all's defense is, like, how they're currently playing and what mm-hmm. your offense could be, y'all could, I mean, be an absolute juggernaut in mm-hmm. the NFL right now. And, I mean, it just hasn't been. And that's kind of where the frustration lies mm-hmm. in the expectation. They know what the offense is capable of, or what these players are capable of.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, hey, it's like, hey, what's going on? Why isn't Saquon Barkley the best running back in the NFL running like the best running back in the NFL anymore? Why are we getting AJ Brown the ball? Why is Devontae the only one moving around? The questions are very valid. And yep. I mean, I echo all your sentiments.
Yeah. I really think, because I thought of those other two teams when I wrote it, like, I really think Philly, the Denver Broncos, the Buffalo Bills, I think we are all in the same boat as of right now in this season. I think we'll all make the playoffs and we'll get bounced. Nothing about the Denver Broncos offense shows me that they're AFC, like, a true AFC contender.
Right.
Buffalo, they just beat Kansas City, but then got beat by the lowly Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Nah, man. Nah, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't even want to call us pretenders. I don't see it, man. I don't see it. Yeah, we're winning games. Cool. But ugly wins can only count for so much.
Yeah.
And your whole season can't be built on ugly wins.
Exactly.
It can't, man. I'm sorry. I'll say it, man. If I'm in the minority for that, for the Eagles fans in that regard, then so be it. But I don't see it, man. Bird Gang, if y'all see it differently, let me know. I do not see it.
Maybe,
I don't.
Maybe with them, it's more of a thing that, like, I feel like within themselves, they're like, I mean, hey, what's going on? We don't know. But they just don't like the outside criticism from other people. And I mean, so they're just kind of just defending the team.
Right. I mean, Devontae Smith, he said it yesterday. He was like, you know, like, we just worry about what we do in that building, man. We're not worried about what people say on the outside. And that's great.
Yeah.
You should have that mentality, but.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely for the team now.
Right. I'm telling you right now, if Nick Sirianni isn't lighting up Kevin Petullo, like, today, if he didn't light him up for the anemic play calling that was on display last night, then I got nothing for you.
Yeah.
And light him up, and then, oh, by the way, I'm calling plays next game. You're my guy and everything. We didn't build this thing together, but man, I do not know.
Right.
I don't know.
It hasn't been there.
It has not been there. And, you know, it'll be interesting if we keep this trend up the whole season, and, you know, if my prediction comes right and we get bounced in the first round, you know, in the divisional round of the playoffs, it's going to be interesting to see come the offseason. Does Nick keep Kevin Petullo? Does he see what top names are out there? You know what I'm saying? Like, does he do loyalty over best available? Like, because I'm not even going to say fire Nick Sirianni anymore at this point. I think he's earned his grace. I think he's earned his right and in his place as a head coach of Philadelphia Eagles. You know, granted, he's had his up and downs too. I was on here last season talking about firing him halfway through the season.
Right.
But I'm not even going to say that. They say, like, owners don't get involved that much. I don't think Jeffrey Lurie does, but at a certain point, look, man, what is going on? Because I done paid Jalen, I done paid Saquon, I done paid Devontae, I done paid AJ. Majority of O-line's already paid.
Dallas?
Well, he's not paid, but I don't know. Honestly, he's having a career year, and I don't want to lose him, but I fear this will be his last year as a Philadelphia Eagle. I hope I'm wrong. Mm. But I don't think that'll happen. And, you know, if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, like, what's going on, man? Why are we only putting up 10 points?
Right.
Why do we lead the league in three and outs?
Right.
Why does this offense lead the league in three and outs? Why is my quarterback, how is it in one breath that he's talking about an MVP conversation? I'm not even going to say Jalen Hurts is the MVP candidate. And I'm going to say it for this reason alone. He literally hasn't thrown for that many yards.
Yeah.
Jalen's been super efficient, right? He only has two interceptions, 17 total or 17 passing touchdowns, I think 5 rushing touchdowns. Like, Jalen's been playing great football for the most part. He just has not been airing it out.
Yeah.
We just have not been airing it out as an offense. We haven't run the ball that great either as an offense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's frustrating. And, you know, you said it before, like, it's frustrating because in a season like this, we could be leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else, right? Or we can at least be equals with the Detroit, with the Seattle, who's steamrolling right now. And we're not. We're playing second fiddle to them. I'm telling you, we play Detroit. I won't be surprised, man, if they run us out the building. I really won't. Yeah, I don't know what else can happen at this point, because you're not going to fire Kevin Petullo now. You're not going to fire him. So I think Nick Sirianni needs to take over play calling. I really believe that. I think that's what needs to happen, man.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that got me hot a little bit, man. But, okay, staying in the division. Excuse me, I've been really parched. My throat's dry tonight. Staying in the division, the New York Giants let go of Brian Daboll.
Yep.
I'll let you take first crack at this.
I feel like it's been something that's kind of been on, he's been on the hot seat for a while. It's almost like every game they lose, it's kind of been like, oh, is this going to be are they done with Daboll now? Is this going to be the one? But because, I mean, the Giants haven't been a good team under him, whether that's been his fault or who's to blame for that, it is what it is. The truth is they have been one of the worst teams in the NFL since he's been the coach. There hasn't been much improvement. There was a flash there with Jackson Dart and Cam Scatterboo kind of running things for like a couple games. It started with their game against you guys, I think, maybe even the game before
that. Well, he started the game before us.
Oh, okay. Then yeah. So those first couple games, but they've kind of come back down to earth. Well, Cam's got to be, obviously.
Got neighbors out, Cam out.
Yeah. But I mean, I wasn't too surprised.
No.
I mean, I think the GM, his job should also be, they've made a lot of bad decisions.
That is where I was shocked.
Yeah.
That is where I was shocked. I just, you can justify firing Brian Daboll just for this season alone. I mean, they've given up 4 double digit leads in the fourth quarter. Right. So I can understand that. If you read a little bit more into it, you see his short temper, how hot-headed he is. I mean, he threw a tablet at Daniel Jones once. He got fined $100,000. Him and the Giant, he got them fined crazy because he entered the blue tent when Jackson Dart was being evaluated for concussion. I mean, it's very possible he's had Jackson Dart out here playing with 4 concussions. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been tested 4 times. He tried to run him into the ground.
He was desperate.
Yes.
It was very clear.
Yes. And my mode of thinking was, I thought the Giants were going to give him at least one more season because it's like, okay.
Yeah, Jackson Dart.
Right. Because he wanted Jaden Daniels last year, didn't get him because of Joe Shane. Right. But you finally got Jackson Dart. You got your guy. You got a year. Right. I really thought they were going to give him one more year. But they didn't. And, you know, it is what it is. I don't know how Joe Shane still has a job.
Yeah.
Like his son on national television basically told him, you need to go get Jaden Daniels. Didn't do that. You put together this bad offensive line.
Let Saquon walk.
Right.
You signed Daniel Jones before that.
Paid Daniel Jones over Saquon. Played chicken with Saquon. Like, I just don't know how I think it's Steve or John Mara. I can't remember, but I just don't know how you're the owner of the New York Football Giants and you say Daboll needs to go, but Joe Shane has done enough to keep his job. I don't see how that's possible.
Yeah.
I don't see how that's possible. And now he's heading the search on the new head coach. Well, okay, what happens if this head coach don't work out? Right? Like, what? I mean, you keep making bad moves. I don't know about that. That was the one thing that shocked me. Like, Brian Daboll being out, I guess, surprised me a little bit just because, like, dang, I thought they were going to give him one more year, but
yeah,
I can understand why. But there's no way it shouldn't have read Brian Daboll, head coach out, Joe Shane, GM, also out.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't know how that we got to that.
Because I can't, like you said, I can understand why Daboll was fired, but I feel like it's almost like it had it been like, oh, you got to pick one or the other. Who's to blame? Like, oh, the thing, this coaching problem, the things that Daboll's kind of, his shortcomings are just like, from a personnel wise, they just haven't been a good enough team.
Right.
I think it clearly starts with the team building aspect of it.
1,000%.
I mean, they just have not been a very competitive team, just player wise.
They've started 2-8 the last 3 seasons.
Yeah, like they drafted Saquon, obviously, but they let him walk, like you said, play chicken with him. They drafted Malik Nabers. I mean,
he was going to request a trade before Jackson Dart came.
Right.
And I'll guarantee it.
Unfortunate that he suffered an injury.
Right.
But they just, even draft-wise, they haven't really just hit it out of the park. And then they, free agency-wise,
have not
made any trades. I mean, they just haven't done
I mean, he brought in Brian Burns. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Brought in Brian Burns. I'll give him that.
That's a good, but other than that, they have made very few moves to just to even suggest that they're in a win now mode, or you're even making a push to like be a competitive playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
They did make the playoffs that year. I think it was during y'all's first Super Bowl run. They beat the Vikings in the first round. So
that was Brian Daboll's first year.
It was credit to them for that. But I could have told you, if you asked me then, I would have told you straight up the Vikings were fraud.
Pretend, yo.
The biggest
1,000%
of that train. So, I mean, obviously that is a rush. He did accomplish that, but
he got coach of the year that year.
Wow.
But yeah, Brian Daboll, he got coach of the year that year.
Hey.
Okay. And it all went downhill
from there. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It all went downhill. But Yeah, man, Brian Daboll's out. I mean, I don't think Dan Quinn is gonna be out in Washington. I doubt that.
No, I don't think it's too soon. Yeah, and they literally just went to the divisional.
Now their season,
the NFC Championship, I mean.
No, their season. I think it's about over.
Yeah, and I agree.
I don't think Jaden Daniels should play again.
I don't think
if you don't win any games while he's like out.
Yeah, to keep you afloat.
There's no reason.
It's because they'd probably almost have to go undefeated because we're above them,
mm-hmm.
and we dang near have to go undefeated because we have like an 11% chance to make the playoffs.
Right.
And we have to basically go undefeated. So I would assume they almost for sure have to as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't win it, you can't win these games. If Jaden Daniels isn't gonna play, and he should just be done for the season.
Jaden Daniels is hurt. Your number one wide receiver, Terry McLaurin's been in and out of the lineup all season.
Right.
I know they had issues with O-line.
Debo's missed some games.
Debo's missed some time too. Like, yeah, man, just it is where it is. I'm not saying I'm not saying like, because like Rob Parker, right? He'll make the argument of like, oh, well, like, why is Jaden Daniels, above the rest of his teammates in terms of like, why can he sit out, but the rest of these guys can go out there and fight? And my simple response to that is because he's the franchise.
Right.
I'm sorry, man. Like, wherever five goes, he's going to lead us as far as five can go.
Right, but I wouldn't even be mad if my team, like, on top of in my corner, sat out some other guys that were, like, had some injuries flare up. Like, yeah. I mean, like...
Right. I mean, we've seen it happen before. Yeah. It's just, listen, Jaden Daniels...
If he wasn't coming in and out from injuries, they wouldn't be sitting him. Like, you're not just going to sit your quarterback. Yeah. You're not just going to bench your quarterback because your season's
No.
It's an injury precaution. That's why. That's exactly why he's above his teammates.
It's unnecessary football, right? Like legit, like that's the only way you can describe it, right? It's like, and we saw it happen with RG3. We saw it happen, and everybody's getting scared because it's really starting to feel like RG3 again. God, I hope that's not the case. I really hope that's not the case. But, yeah, dude, if you're Washington... Take a seat. Just take a seat. Get all your ducks in a row. And, regroup in the offseason, man. I don't think there's any reason for Jaden Daniels to touch the field again. Not one. Not one.
I agree.
Y'all play the Raiders.
Yep.
Bye week coming off the bye week. Obviously a heavy bye week given, what happened and the circumstances. But you seemed excited about getting some guys back. DeMar and Overshawn is back. He's going to play?
Yeah, he's been officially acted off the punt list. It'll be his first game back.
That is really good.
And we're hoping to get Siobhan Rebel back for this first game. But it'll be Siobhan Rebel, he's not going to play this game.
Right.
We were expecting, but and then Quinnen, he will be playing.
Quinnen Williams' debut.
Logan Wilson will be playing. We have, I think, five new starters on offense. I mean, on defense.
Quinnen, Logan.
Logan, DeMarion, Overshawn. We have our safety. I think it's Malik Hooker. We were returning.
Okay.
And once Siobhan.
You were that high on Malik's play, though, recently, right?
I mean, but it's better than his backups.
Yeah, the regular story.
And, I mean, our safeties have just been decimated by injuries. Wanya Thomas just got placed on injury reserve.
Oh.
He was playing because Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson had been out, but he's been dealing with migraines for the past month at this point.
Oh, he needs to get checked out.
It was something he said he's never dealt with before. Doesn't really know what's causing them.
Something
he's got to get figured out. And I mean, watch Siobhan Rebel. Because they don't think it'll be this game, it'll be the next game.
Okay.
Thanksgiving against the Chiefs, because we have three games within the span of like 12, 13 days.
Yeah.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah. Now, so would it be, because it seems like Deron Bland, like his best spot right now is slot. So who, I mean, it would be Siobhan and Kyrie on the outside?
I guess, until now.
Yeah. Kyrie, man. He's been what? I'd say borderline decent for y'all?
No, he's been terrible. Yeah.
Okay.
When he even gets the play, it's been bad. Yeah, for sure.
Man, Buffalo missed out on that drop. And the game, is it in Vegas?
Yeah, this game will be in Vegas. I mean, it should be a get-right game for us offensively.
Yeah.
We've had a bad 2 weeks on that side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders aren't that good of a team.
They're not.
They've been one of the worst teams in the league. This should be.
That Raiders-Broncos game, man, that was...
Yeah, that was...
Golly, bro.
It was tough to watch, but they do obviously have Max Crosby, somebody who was...
He's probably going to line up routinely against Terrence Steele.
Somebody who I really had really high hopes for Jerry making a trade for.
Yeah.
Obviously didn't make that happen.
Yeah.
But we know what Max Crosby can do. Hopefully we have some type of game plan. If they're smart, they'll take a page out of the Green Bay Packers book, out of basically anybody who played us in the past three seasons. And I mean, because I didn't even really touch on it. I kind of want to speak on that. I mean, how many times do I have to come on here and say QB pressures mean absolutely nothing?
You know what? Wait, before you, because I did see something that bodes well to your overall point about like how the best edge rushers don't usually make like the greatest impact. The two top sack leaders right now is Myles Garrett.
Nick.
And
I know Nick Bonito was tops in sack. You mean for like the...
Oh, is he? Okay. Let me see. It's Myles Garrett and somebody else on a losing team. Brian Burns.
Right.
That's what it was. And I saw that and I said, man, I saw that I disagree with your point. Like, I hear what you're saying. Like, just because you have an elite edge rusher does not mean your team will win more games.
Yeah.
It's funny how I saw that. I just thought about you. So,
yeah.
And so, when I'm
watching the game, it almost seems like the Eagles manufactured some of those pressures just to give him... like behind Jalen, just to kind of get him out of the play. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like they kind of push him up, let him kind of loop around just to make him work a little extra hard and make it look like he's doing something when that it really affected the play.
Well, you know, it's funny. He didn't have a pressure. He didn't register a pressure against the Panthers when they lost.
Just not a single pressure. I can't get the sack without a pressure. Didn't have a tackle. A complete no-show in there and back-to-back and almost back-to-back losses for them.
I don't know. I'm a firm believer in building through the trenches first and foremost. I believe edge rushing and pass rushing in general is very important to have on a football team.
I agree. Build through the trenches. I think that trench starts from the inside. Where I think where we're at.
So you think the D-tackle spots are more important than the edge?
I think what we're attempting to do now
1,000%
is going to bode better for our defense in the long run in terms of what the rest of the team. I think like just in terms of Quinton Williams joining the team, I think that alone this is just going to unlock so much more for our defense, just in terms of what our linebackers are able to do in the run game for one, and in terms of his ability to rush the passer and his taking up two blockers, it's going to be able to get more pressure on that.
Donovan Isaraku should really start to tee off a little bit.
And so, if he's taking Donovan Isaraku's teeing off a bit, Jadeveon Clowney's getting it, all that's going to do is make it easier on Deron Bland, Siobhan Rubble, Kyer Elam, Donovan Wilson, Malik Cooker, all those guys on the back end. So I think that.
Somebody, I think Khalil Mack said it. you know, with the Chargers playing the Steelers. And he was like, they were asking, like, how's your defense play so well? And he was like, I mean, you know, if we do our job in the front end, they do their job on the back end. You know, we get to the quarterback, that makes it easier for them. You know, yeah. They make their job easier for they do their job on the back end. It makes it easier for us. So it really goes hand in hand. But I'm with you. I think 1,000% the Dallas Cowboys are trying to, and we'll see if it's successful, right? But trying to have two, definitely one top five defensive tackle in the league in Quinton Williams, probably another top 15 guy, Kenny Clark, and just literally build from the inside out. Like you said, Quinton Williams, the amount of attention he's going to require on every down, you got to get four hands on him at least, right? That's going to single up whoever's, you know, playing edge on his side. It's going to single up Kenny Clark. It's going to single up everybody else. And that just gives you more freedom and flexibility in terms of the back seven that you have, right?
They might even have some packages. I've heard just kind of some talks about where they have Quinton down there, Kenny Clark on one side, Osa on the other side.
Oh, I forgot y'all have Osa too.
And that's a Rocco Russian.
Dang, is he kind of getting lost in the fold now?
I don't think so. I think the main 5-2 defense, this is gonna be something they like. And it was something they even brought it. They even kind of deployed in our most recent game against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it didn't have the greatest game, but I think with better personnel, like with Matt Eberflus's stubbornness, it's been more of a
because that'll be my next question.
Yeah, he didn't have the personnel to do things that he wanted to do. And
you think him getting Quinton will give him flexibility to do some more stuff now?
No, it doesn't give him flexibility to do more stuff. Gives him just the ability to do what he just stubborn to do. You know, like, it's not that it won't be that he just doesn't have, like...
So do you think... Okay, so I guess, because my question to you now is, does Matt Eberflus have another lease on life?
No. This scheme that we kind of ran, it was kind of different than the zones that we had been running, and it didn't work. So my problem with him is his stubbornness to change. Like, it's not even that he's just been doing the same thing all season. It's that in game, when something isn't working, he refuses to change it. So that's what I've done. So even if
the defense can, you know, hold water.
Yeah, it won't get better. It won't be because of him. It'll be because we added Quinton Williams.
Okay,
Logan Williams, like these
I see what you're saying. Yeah, so basically, your defense will be playing in spite of him.
Yeah.
Matt Eberflus, he needs to be gone.
Definitely.
That's what I'm hearing. Okay, yeah, well, now, like you said, I'm very interested to see, you know, what Quinton Williams brings to the Dallas Cowboys. I think he will make y'all's defense better, even if it's not immediate, like this season, right? If it is this season, it'll definitely pay dividends down the line.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, I mean, look, at that point, it's still up to Jerry, right? Jerry's got to bring in the right pieces. You know, you still got extra draft capital. And you got to build this thing around Quinton, around Kenny, around Oso, around DeMarion Overshawn, who I think, you know, I'll say it, man. I truly believe he could mess around and be the best linebacker in football if he could just stay healthy.
Yeah.
I really believe that. So, yeah, man. I mean, you know, Siobhan Revel, if he can come back and, you know, finish off his rookie season playing pretty solid for y'all, you know, getting his feet wet in the NFL and everything. You know, I know you think Trayvon Diggs is gone, and maybe he is. Who knows?
I mean, I thought he was going to get traded, so
I'm sure it probably, because he's on injury reserve right now.
But his injury reserve, it wasn't because of the concussion. That he did have a concussion.
Yeah.
And it was according to all accounts, it was a freak accident that happened at home. But
no, that sounds like John Wall. You remember when John Wall tore his Achilles at his house?
Yeah. I don't know. I still don't know what happened, but... His injury that's kind of put him on injury reserve is a
hamstring, or
I think they said he like had like tissue tears in his knee or something like that. Basically, something. It's not like season ending. He can't come back from it this season. So I expect him to for sure now that the trade deadline is passed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he'll get cut at the end of this season. Mm. So they kind of save that money from his contract. Or hopefully they maybe find a trade partner if they're not going to keep him on the team. But I think that he'll come back this season. But
this will be his last as a Dallas Cowboy.
I do think that, yeah.
Yeah. Man, I mean, you know, only time will tell. We'll see. We'll see what that's looking like. But, okay, if I had to ask you right now, man, I mean, just your gut feeling, do y'all get the win in Vegas?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we definitely get the win in Vegas, and I mean, we have to get the win in Vegas. I've been looking at the schedule and our chance for the playoffs. And
like this game is the season right here, essentially.
Every game.
I mean, yeah, right, but like,
because
you lose this one.
We can afford to lose one more, and we still like have a really good chance if we only lose one more game.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we lose two more, it'll be at a point to where at the end of the season, we got to have, like, our destiny might not be in our hands. Like, we might be able to win if we win our last game and then another team loses or something, like, we might be hoping from some other, but anything past two losses, it's completely done.
Yeah.
And so if we can't even beat the Raiders, we have you guys after that, then we have the Chiefs, then we have the Lions.
Oh, yeah.
We still have the Commanders and the Giants and the Chargers, the Vikings. So I mean,
no, you gotta,
The Raiders, we can't even.
Every game is your season.
Yeah,
every game is your season. Well, you know, we'll see how it looks. Is it on Monday night?
Yeah.
We'll see how it looks come Monday night, man. We're gonna switch gears a little bit because Brian Daboll is not the only one that got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Nico Harrison, the former GM of the Dallas Mavericks, finally got the boot. He finally got the boot. From owners Patrick Dumont and his family. Took less than a season, right? The Mavericks are off to a not-so-stellar start this year. I just, you know, everybody's, you know, at least Patrick Dumont and the Mavericks, they're framing this as Nico's the scapegoat. You know, he traded Luka and it was a mistake and all this and that. And I just have one thing to say. Patrick Dumont, are you firing yourself too? Because you okayed that trade. Right. I don't care if Nico was sitting there talking you off, you know, or really talking you to the edge for, you know, 3 months or whatever. And bro, we got to trade Luka. I'm telling you, we got to go get AD. He's available. I can make this happen. Regardless. You said yes.
Yeah.
You said fine. Trade our 25-year-old phenom. Perennial all NBA first teamer.
It makes no sense.
you okay this.
Right. I don't understand how they could kind of just. If this was a ownership decision.
Yes.
Because it's not like Dallas, the Cowboys, where Jerry's the same. The owner and GM is the same guy.
Yep.
Making the same one decision.
No, Nico had to go to Patrick and say, hey, man. Can I do this?
Exactly.
And then Patrick had to say, are you sure? Nico said, yes, I promise you. I'm sure. It's not going to work out with him. And then Patrick said, fine. Trade Luka then.
Well, maybe that was kind of that was it. He was like, well, if you do this and we're bad, you're gone.
I mean, I hope that was the conversation. I don't know. I'll say right now, Nico Harrison, he's not getting another job on an NBA team. Yeah, he needs to go on back and call his folks at Nike.
Because fans were right. A fan base would be like so livid if they hired him to be their GM. Because they're going to be terrified that their best players are gone.
No. Nico Harrison, your NBA career is done, brother. Now, like I said, go ahead and call their folks back at Nike. Go back. I'm sure you can get you a comfortable job.
He'll get a job so late.
Yeah. Just not. Not as a member of the NBA organization, not in the front office at least. No way, no how. I don't know. And it's crazy because we all thought he got bailed out. And I still think he got bailed out getting the first overall pick.
Absolutely.
I don't know if the NBA is rigged. I don't know that. I mean, it's crazy how that played out. But you got Cooper Fly and Jason Kidd over here playing him at point guard. Like I don't know what's going on in Dallas right now. Anthony Davis apparently looks super out of shape.
Yeah, that's how I saw the picture. I don't know if it was real or not. But he definitely looking. It might have just been a bad ankle. That's what I...
Yeah, because I'm not going to... I don't know. Like, I've seen AD play a little bit this year. He looks like AD. So, I don't... maybe... I don't know. But... And, I mean, you also have to keep in mind the Mavericks... I mean, Kyrie is still rehabbing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else, I think, is also out for a very long time with them. Like, they don't have all their horses. And, you know, people have to exercise patience. Cooper Flagg, I still think he'll be really great. I do. But he doesn't, you know, he's not a point guard, right? He had a like 20 and like 9 game last night when they just finally let him, like, all right, you go be the forward, go be the three. You know, yam on guys, play defense, do play your game, right? And he flourished. So I don't think all hope is lost for Dallas, but I mean, you will never, and I like ever, be able to convince me that trading Luka Doncic was a good idea.
At all.
Like you're the beneficiary of this Lakers fan now. Still, yeah.
Shout out to them. They are playing extremely well right now.
They are. They really are.
So are the Bulls, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm waiting on the other shooter job, dog. I'm not anticipating this lasting. I'm really not. I'm sorry. I'm not anticipating that lasting very much longer. And Bulls fans, y'all let me know, man. Am I crazy? Am I being too pessimistic? Y'all let me know. Actually, you know what? Let me ask you this about the Lakers, though, because this is kind of the talk, or at least from what I'm hearing. You know, people, you know, because LeBron is gearing up to get back.
Mm-hmm.
People really feel like the Lakers are going to, like, fall off when LeBron gets back. Are you seeing this talk?
Yeah, that's insane to think.
Okay.
Literally insane. almost clinically insane to think that LeBron James.
Yes.
LeBron James.
Yes.
Is going to hinder the success of a basketball team.
Well, people's argument have been, you know, they think he's going to. Because, you know, Austin Reeves is having a career season right now.
Yeah, great.
Basically, LeBron is going to dominate the ball now.
No. What do people not understand? LeBron fans, LeBron's organizations, we have been begging for somebody, specifically Anthony Davis,
mm-hmm.
to take the reins. To take the mantle and lead this team. And he could not, would not, did not do it. This is literally perfect.
Yes.
That LeBron can come in, let Luka run the show, mm-hmm. let Anthony, Austin Reeves continue to flourish into his own player.
Yes.
And still beat him like this. I don't understand why.
You just think people are hating.
Yeah.
Okay.
That they're praying LeBron comes back and dominates the ball and throws them off their rhythm. That's their one true hope.
Yes.
That's the only thing they think. Like, they're like, because that's the thing. They look amazing. So if LeBron comes in, if you add LeBron to that and it gels the way it's supposed to, then they're like, oh, that's terrifying for the rest of the league.
Yes.
And the rest of the league's fans. That's all that is.
Okay. So you heard it here first. Lando is banking on LeBron coming back and easing into the number two role finally that he's been desperately craving to get into.
He's 40. Like,
yeah,
it's ridiculous that he's had to carry a team.
I mean, I'm with you
at this point.
I'm with you. AD, I mean, I'll stand on this, man. AD is a number one talent with a number two mentality. And, as long as him and LeBron played together, he was never going to be the guy that took over, like, just to take the team. He just wasn't going to do it.
Right. And I loved him. I think everything he did for us, he was amazing in the championship run. He was amazing even in the season we
won. All-NBA player. Like, it's
he just didn't have that extra, that extra dog in him to be that. Like, Luka is arguably the best player in the NBA. Anthony Davis has never been that. It never will be that. It's never going to happen.
Yeah. No, you're right. So it'll be interesting to see, man. Lakers fans, I mean, y'all let us know, man. You said, well, Lando here, do you think LeBron is going to mess up the chemistry? Me personally, I don't know. I don't know, because this is going to be our first time seeing LeBron, I guess, in a quote-unquote reduced role. If he is in a reduced role, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, it worked last season. No, they didn't win a championship.
You mean after the Luka trade?
Yeah, they were successful and they won I can't.
Y'all finished what, third?
In the West, right?
Finished like third or fourth in the West. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, it was, they played well.
You felt like watching the game, though, you felt like it was very evident that Luka was number one and LeBron was playing off of him?
Yes. If anything, 1A, 1B, yeah. For sure, it was for sure Luka was, it was Luka's team.
Yes.
If you had to pick a guy that was, they were
big. And it was clear watching that, watching them play.
Yes. And the I feel like the only thing that kind of, the hurt them, they had to see, they came and their season ended against the Timberwolves.
Yes.
And it was more defensive problems, and I feel like they addressed those problems with getting Marcus Smart.
Yes.
Who's one of the best defensive guards in the NBA.
Yep.
DeAndre Ayton has played amazingly decent.
After a slow start, he's played pretty well after a slow start.
Amazingly decent. Like, it's, I feel like he's done.
What's he averaging right now? Is he averaging what we said he should average?
Just about. I was just about to say.
Let's see. What's DeAndre Ayton averaging right now, man? Let me see. I mean, I know him and Luka have gotten into a rhythm.
He is averaging
pretty good chemistry.
Like 17 and 8, 16 and a half.
Dominating is averaging 17 and 8.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You know, like he those rebounds up a little bit. But
22 and 10 game, 29 and 10 games, 17 and 10 game. Let me go to, I gotta go to ESPN.
17-8 is not bad.
Right.
I'd like those rebounds to get up a little bit, but you know, you're too big to be only averaging 8. I'm not gonna lie. Like,
yeah, I agree. Yeah,
no 7-footer should be averaging single-digit rebounds.
only one block a game.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
not like I said, decent.
Yeah, 17-8, we'll take it.
Yeah,
we'll
so I it. Feel like, and not only were the defensive problems are the problem for the Lakers last season, it was also half a season with LeBron and Luka.
Yes.
Trying to build that chemistry, or Luka just building that chemistry with the team in general.
Right.
And I think after an entire that season, an entire off season, and the rest of this season, I feel like that those problems might be fixed. So
right,
they'll be able to build off that.
Right. Well, you know, only time will tell, man. We'll see. When does LeBron come back?
I think it's
a couple more weeks, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He just got cleared for 5-on-5.
Yeah, it was just like the NBA equivalent of like his practice window getting activated type.
Yeah.
They even said he'll be like practicing with the South Bay Lakers.
For
a day or two, which I don't really see the point of, but because they do that when people.
They do, they do. Okay, well, yeah, we'll find out, man. Will LeBron jive with the chemistry that they got going on? Will he mess it up? I really don't know. Lando says LeBron's going to fit in seamlessly, so we'll find out. But before we get on out of here, man, it's time for What Say You? And this week's topic is brought to us by Pat Sertan and Terrion Arnold via the Closed on Sunday podcast. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, I never watched a full episode, but I see their clips on Instagram all the time. Those fellows are hilarious. And they were talking about, you know, barber prices and what they pay. I mean, Lando, I mean, you know, we spoke about it before, but I'll just ask you again, man. The most you've paid for a haircut is what?
So, starting recently, my barber, within like the last 2-3 times I got a haircut, he just started charging me $30. But before that, it was $20 pretty much my whole life.
Right.
And like you said on the podcast you're referring to, they were speaking of a $300 haircut. And it wasn't even like a skilled, like, clipper with the lineup. He was in there with the black
spray, man.
You know, basically drawing his lineup on. And I think that's just outrageous. So what's the most you pay for a haircut?
The most I pay for a haircut is $45. You know what? My barber, he too just recently upped his prices. And I'm fine with that because, I've been with my barber. Fun fact, his name is also Eric. Eric Molina, for you folks out here in Austin, man, go tap in with him or with Lando's barber, maybe.
Ferris, I don't know Ferris the barber.
Yeah. I mean, I'll shout my guy out because he's my guy. I've been with him for 5 or 6 years at this point. And I'll say two things. Number one, you probably can't relate to this because you've had a good barber your whole life, but it is hard to find a good barber. Like, before Eric, man, I was bouncing around, bro. Like, I was bouncing around. And the problem is, number one, some barbers think that their time is more important than yours, right? I mean, I remember I had a guy, you know, we both went to Texas State. I had a guy by Sam Moe who my friend Brian went to. And now when Brian went to him, he was working out of his crib. right?
Yeah.
By the time I get to him, he's working out of a shop now. Not too long ago in terms of, you know, time gap though, right?
Yeah.
I set up an appointment with him. You know, I can't remember the exact time, so I'll say 7 p.m., right? And me and Brian, we get to the shop, and I get there. He still had a guy in the chair, but he's like, you know, you coming up right next. I said, okay, cool. You know, I'm waiting there and everything. And he's like, yeah, it'll be about like 10 under 10 minutes. I'm like, all right, cool. So me and Brian, we're like, we walk outside, like the salon, like literally right there on the sidewalk, right? And we're just hanging. Cool, 10 minutes pass. I see the guy getting out of the chair. I was like, all right, cool. I think I'm up now, right? I walk up, and as I'm walking up, another guy's walking up the chair. And he's like, hold on, bro. He's like, yeah, like I told him 7-2. I'm like, wait, what?
No, heck no, yeah.
So I'm like, wait, okay. And he goes, I mean, y'all can like rock, paper, scissors for it or something. I was like, bro. So I'm the nice guy. I was like, all right, but you know, you got it. I got time, right? So I let the guy go. I'm hanging out. Me and Brian hanging out. Guy, his cut only took like 15 minutes or something like that, right? So I'm going in there. And there's another guy walking up. I almost about lost it. I'm like, bro, there's no way. No, actually, wait a second. I'm lying. Because you know what happened? I see there's another guy in the chair already, like a second guy. Okay? So at this point, I leave.
Yeah.
I leave, right? Dude hits me. The barber hits me. I think his name was Mike, whatever. Dude hits me. He's like, hey, man, you left? I was like, bro, yes, you had another guy in my seat.
Yeah, what do you do?
And he was like, oh, yeah, my fault, man. He's like, I just got super busy and everything. And he was like, you would come back. And I literally said, are you going to give me a free cut?
Oh, yeah.
That's the only way we're...
Hold on. He didn't get super busy. He literally was just choosing to cut other people.
I said, are you going to give me a free cut? He was like, no, man, I can't do that. Then, all right, man, like, no.
Yeah.
You lost my business, dog. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's terrible.
Like, it's horrible. And some barbers, man, they think their time is more valuable than yours. If I tell you a specific time, then to me, this is like my mindset for anything, right? Barber, doctor's appointment, whatever. If I'm setting a specific time with you, you should assume that I only have that window of time
that's what I've allotted for this.
Yeah,
for sure,
exactly. And a lot of barbers don't do that, man. A lot of barbers do not do that. It is hard to find a good barber. It's hard to find a barber you're willing to stay loyal to. So shout out to my man Eric, man. It took me a while to find him, but I've been winning through thick and thin, bro. But yeah, man, these barbers out here crazy. The funniest thing about that Terrion Arnold story though was, you know, because he was like, yeah, like he was about to pull up the black spray. He was like, oh, no, nah, boss, I don't need that. And then the dude said, all right, cool, man. It'll be cool, 300. Like,
that's crazy. And then
he said he talked him down to 150. That's crazy. Like,
and it's almost like predatory because he's only charging them that much because he calls himself a celebrity barber. Yes. Because
and he's cut a couple rappers or whatever.
He's cutting millionaires.
Yes.
But I feel like on the same scale, like I don't want to name names. I don't want to hurt anybody's business, but there's a guy here in Rail Rock who charges 65 for hair tech. And I feel like 65 to in Round Rock is the same as 300 to an NFL player. Yeah.
No,
it's like you're insane.
Actually, you know what? I also remember I saw I wish I could find this clip. I saw a clip one time on Instagram, and the guy you're referring to, he reposted this. It was basically a guy talking about like, if you're not spending, I think he said, like, if you're not spending $70 to $80 on a haircut, then like you're not worth a deal. And I was like, what?
The propaganda. Big barber is trying to brainwash you into paying $100 for a haircut. Propaganda. Don't fall for it, guys.
No,
can never be me, man. Can never be me. That's crazy.
That's crazy. $60. That's a video game.
Yeah.
That's a video. No,
which is also getting niggas in. Oh, man.
$70 in the
inflation belt. Just in Italy. You know, we watch things literally over double in price.
Dude.
When I was a child, I could go to McDonald's, get a double cheeseburger, a large drink and a small French fry.
Yes.
For $3.25. That same meal is over $7 now.
I remember the days in high school when I could buy a video game for a legit 60. Now they're like 75, 80 bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
We have literally watched this with our own eyes in our lifetime. It's insane.
Yep.
While pay and wages haven't increased in nearly as much of an amount, but that's the whole story.
Yeah, that's a story for another day. But hey, I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And what say you, man? Eagles fans, am I crazy? Are we actually going to run off another title? I don't see it, but y'all let me know if y'all feel differently. Cowboys fans, what say you? Do you think Matt Eberflus should get a mulligan for the second half of the season if the defense is...
I don't think that. Do y'all think we got there's any hope for us, guys?
Yeah. Is there any hope? Do the Cowboys finish strong?
Yeah.
Do they sneak in by the grit of their teeth into the playoffs?
And I just want to, even if we don't, finishing strong,
yes,
to build for next season, right, will bode well for the team in the future, because there's a lot also needs to have, because we don't even with winning out and stuff, we still don't control our own destiny, because if other teams went out,
right,
and do well, like, so we still need a lot of things to happen. So if we can at least do our job, finish strong, it'll definitely bode well for our future.
Right, 1,000%. And what say you? What's the most you've ever paid for a haircut? And would you ever pay $60? Would you ever pay $150?
What would you say if someone charged you $300? Let us know.
Let us know. But until next week, peace.
Later.